Let me begin with a small piece on the Mishnah Gemara and of Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, and then I'll go actually back a daf to the more comprehensive piece that I wanted to present. So the Mishnah says on Tzadik Dalet, Masna Shom Mechinam Liyas Potem Mishavu V'ashoy Liyas Potem Milashalim. The Mishnah says that it's possible to make other arrangements different than the built-in system that the Torah organizes, where the four Shomrim have certain predetermined responsibilities in terms of payment. So you can negotiate your own arrangement. And it's presenting it as, it works as a tonight, as a condition. Also, the other ones, the ones who usually sometimes have a shvuah, sometimes pay, they can also arrange to be off the hook. So then the Gemara asks a question that says, wait a second, how does this work? Don't we know that you can't go against what the Torah says? Master Masha Kosa B'Torah Tanoi Basel. It's an interesting that the Gemara doesn't ask that for the Mishnah. The Gemara asks it as a rule. A little bit later they ask it for the Mishnah. But, so the yes, isn't there a rule that you can't go against what the Torah says? And he said, well, there's Rabbi Yehuda who holds you could do it on financial matters. So the Gemara goes back and forth and finally says, no, you know what? I'd rather learn to make the Mishnah work together. I'd rather learn that it's Rameya, who usually holds you can't do it on financial matters, but Shemrim are different. Shani Hachadimeikaroloi Shibed Nafshe, Shabed Nafshe. Not sure how you pronounce that correctly. So he made kara from the beginning. He never accepted more than this, which is it's not clear what it means exactly. So Rashi offers an explanation. Tosfos and Ksuvos understands Rashi a certain way and argues with it, but Rashi says that he never agreed until he did the Mashicha, that in general a shomer is not obligated until he draws the animal to him or whatever it is that he's taking care of. So before that time, it's possible to speak out preconditions. And but Tosfos jumps on that and says before and after is not the issue. So Rashi has another piece, and he says that it's before, but it's also because it's possible to divide. Shelo yored Torah shomrim el lemikzas. He only accepted a part of the responsibilities of shomrim rather than the full system, whereas in Kedushin, when it comes to marriage, you can't do this because there's no partial marriage. Fine. So then the Gemara goes on and says, Tana, we learned in a brisa, Umasna Shemir Sach Elias Kishoyo. You could also make it tonight to pay more. So the fellow who's a Shemir Sach, he usually doesn't have to pay for Einstein, he doesn't have to pay for things beyond his control, more or less. So, but you could do more. So Gemara says, B'mai B'dvar. Shmuel says you have to make a kinyan. That it's not enough for him to agree to do it, but they have to do a separate transaction where you use some kind of object like Philippe and something like that to make a kinyan. And that kinyan is what obligates him to do more than every other Shem HaSachar. Rabbi Yechon says, no, it's not necessary to do that. But he hanoah the kanafik leikola the inish mehemne who gamer meshabed nafshi. With he has an advantage in the fact that people will see how trustworthy he is, that he's willing to accept even a higher degree than the Torah demands. So that'll really prove to people what a top-notch shomer is, and that's in his interest in the shomer business. Certainly the Hashem itself was in the business, so there's some talk about Hashem Echinah. But since he has an interest in it, so we say that on the basis of that, he accepted it. And although Rabbi Yechonah doesn't say Bidvarim, he just says, I feel a tema, the Shalai Konam Yod, he just says, even without a Kenya, he doesn't go back to the language of Bidvarim that we used earlier. But presumably that's all there is Dvarim, and together with this understanding of that he has an interest in doing it, and that interest is sufficient because we know there's a principle in all contracts that for the most part, other than Matan, it's Idisa, but most financial transactions, you have to receive, they like to call in American law, consideration. So you accept. For consideration you receive, you take upon yourself some obligation, responsibility, debt. And so there is a consideration that he's getting the reputation, and in return, he can accept that, and you don't need an actual kinyan to reinforce it. Fine. So along comes the Rambam, and the Rambam says that the halacha is that it's possible to make a tanai. This is in Hilchos Chiyus, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. He says, "Master Shemichinim li is part of Mishvua, Vashoyer li is part of Melashalom." It's possible for the Shemer to make a tanai to be part of. V'chei Master Baal Pikod Nal Shemichinim Hashemisach V'Sach Li is Chayavim Bakoil Kishoyer. Also, the fellow is hiring them, he can make the tanai to make them pay extra. Shekol tanai b'momin abishvua shalomin kaim. The Insoch Kinyan Vayedim. He says, because any tanai that has to do with financial matters will remain, and it doesn't require a kinyan. So the Magid Mishnah says, Umasha Kosev Insoch Kinyan, this city offers a halachic view that it doesn't require a kinyan to support this arrangement. Pasuk Rabbi Yochanan, Shama Sham Kinyan. He's passing like Rabbi Yochanan says that in Agamon. So I think the Lachar, it's not possible to learn that way, that the Rambam was passing like Rabbi Yochanan. So let me explain what I think he is passing. Now, by the way, it's a very interesting thing. In Agamar, it does not say that the one who makes the Tanai is the Mafkid. Because the Gemara maintained or retained the same language as the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Master Shemichinim li is partner. Shemichinim can make it not to be partner. And then the Brice said, Tanu, Master Shemisach li is Tishoel. Or the Shemisach can make it not to be a Shoel. And even in the Svara that Rabbi Yochanan said, was the Svara, and what's the interest in the Shemisach to make that Tanai? But the fact is, nobody did this shift of saying, well, he can make it not to pay less, or the other guy can make it not to demand more. And rather, they have the Tanai in both cases on the trustee, or the Bailey, whatever they call the Nifka in English. So, it's interesting that the Rambam changed that language. Right, that's first of all. Because he said that the Baal HaPikvah to make the time. Now, I think, let's take a look at the Rashi. There's really, if we learn the Gemara the way Rashi set it up. We saw Tosfos and Ksuvos quoted the Rashi a little bit truncated from what we have, because Tosfos just said Rashi says that the reason why Ramey is Moed is because it's before him, and he says that can't be because Ramey holds all Tanais are before him. The Tosfos rejects the Rashi, but we saw in our Rashi he said really two Svaras somehow combined, that first of all it's before him, but second of all it's also that he only Shibid Nafshi Lerid Beteris Shemrin El Lemixas, that he never accepted the full obligation of Shemrin, but part of it. So Rashi used the language that really he is in Teres Shemrin. You can't make up a new system outside Teres Shemrin. He never agreed to the idea. One of the Teresim in Tosfos and Ksuvos and other places says that you can make up your own institution, so to speak. Rashi said, no, there's Teres Shemrin of the Torah. And if you would really be breaking it up, that would be Masna Masha Kasav Torah. That for sure Ramea would never accept. But Ramea says that it's possible to enter Teres Shemrin Lemixis if you get in there in advance and set it up. So what you're doing is you mix his Teres Shemrin, and since Kedushin is not amenable to being divided in that way, so it can't be done over there. So the Chayyah comes out according to Rashi that this system will not work on Master Shemisach Elias Kishon. He gave an explanation in the first half of the Gemara that only works in the first half. It cannot work in the second half. But according to Tosfos' explanation that it means that you can create alternate systems. So he created alternate systems, works both ways, even in Ramea. But according to the way Rashi is learning in Ramea, that the whole way Ramea works is that you're able to limit the extent of your exposure to Torah Shomer. So, fine. But you can't make it more. More, that's not Torah Shomer. So you can't say, Master Shomer Sech Aliyah is Kishayel. It's part of Torah Shomer. I mean, unless you would say you could become a Shomer, but there's no indication that there's an idea like that. Rashi didn't say that the Shomer becomes a Shomer Sech when he goes the other way. He's Yorid the Torah Shomer B'mixus. So that can't work the other way. So therefore, I think the way to read the Gemara according to Rashi is like this. The Gemara, after it set up that our Mishnah can be learned according to Rav Meir, then it brings the Braisa Tana, Umasna Shomer Sech Aliyah is Kishayel. So the Gemara always knew that you can learn this Braisa like Rav Yehuda. It's not a problem, because Rav Yehuda holds B'davash of a moment tonight kind. Rav Yehuda holds you can always go do whatever you want, as long as it's financial matters. The Torah is not that assertive in its financial setups to the degree where you lose your autonomy. And you can always negotiate another deal. So, the Gemara is a hemshah from where we just came from. We just came from the idea that we want to learn the Mishnah even like Rameya. Now we have this Braisa. If you're going to try to learn this Braisa according to Rameya, how does it work? So when the Gemara is B'mai, B'dvarim, Rashi's only word of commentary on this Gemara is B'dvarim, B'tmiya. He's understanding that this is a hemshah of what we just got through saying. That since we just... I mean, if you want, we could set it up as a kasha on this Rashi. What do you mean, Bidvarim, Bitamina? What is the Tamina? The whole beginning of the Gemara is Bidvarim. When he made the other Tanai for him to be Potter, how was that Tanai? It was done Bidvarim. Right? So, in a certain way, you could say he got absorbed into the Mashiach, you know, he set it up before. But essentially, the Tanai was Bidvarim. So, the same way, see, you could say, what's my Bidvarim, Bitamina? What? Dvarim? I don't understand. The Teretz is Rashi has it set up very nicely that till now we were working with Dvarim because the setup was you only were Yared Latara Sharman B'mixas. So that you can do with Dvarim because before the Mashiach you say how it's going to be, this is the extent of what I'm accepting, and then you do the Mashiach and then the Dvarim works. But now that we're saying something that's not in Tara Sharman, so this is something new tonight. Right? And we're not. So if it's Rabbi Yehuda, then there's no problem. But if you want to make it Dramea, how do you do this? Must be that this is some kind of matana that he's giving outside the system. So the Gemara says, Bidvarim? What? Bidvarim, you can be Makabal, a whole new thing outside the Parashat Shem? How does that work? So one Mandama says you do a Kenyan. The other Mandama says there's a whole new thing here that he's doing it for advertising purposes. And so that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. But again, this is all within the setup of trying to make this whole thing work in Rameya, and assuming this Tana of Bryce is like a sort of a hamshach on the Mishnah. So to try to make work within Rameya, we have two systems, either Shmuel with the Kenyan, or Rav Yochanan with this idea of Inish Mamnu. By the way, I think there would be a real Nafkamin al Halach if you're passing like Rav Yochanan. There's a real Nafkamin al Halach, it seems to me, where if the guy swears into secrecy. So if you come to the guy and say, listen, I want you to be a Shem Asacha, but I'm really nervous. I want you to do Kishayim. So he says, well, if word gets out about this, I'm sunk because everyone's going to demand this of me. You're a good friend of mine. I'll tell you what, only tonight, and nobody knows about it, you come in the middle of the night and deliver it in the back door. You know, if assuming it's not a behemoth that you have to walk, things like that, nobody will be allowed to do. So in that case, the whole Yisrael Rabbi Yochanan falls off because it's all to build his reputation. But if he did it specifically on the in a clandestine way that Dafka nobody should know about it, so the pastas that should be an Afkamina. And of course Rambam doesn't indicate any such Afkamina, or he doesn't give any clue to this halacha. So it's because the Rambam is really not passing like Shmuel or Rabbi Yochanan, he's passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what he says. And that's why he's shifted around, because we keep saying that the Shemra is being Masna, because in working in Rameya, where it's not a Tanai in Davos of a moment, but it's a Tanai in how he's entering Torah Shomer. So either he's doing less and he's setting himself up to do less, or he's giving more. But it's not that the Baal HaBikaron has any power to make a Tanai. And so the Rambam, who passes a rebuke, he says, Master Shemachinim li is part of Mishul, v'chei Master Baal HaBikaron li is chayav mekal kishal, shekol Tanai b'momim, avishul shalom kai. So the Rambam introduces Rabbi Yehuda into his explanation that it's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda. And once it's reviewed, then you wouldn't have any nafkamina of where it has to be with the case of reputation and all that. So that's I think a small piece, but very basic in the pshat. It gives us a better sense of this piece of gemara. Now I'm going to tell you what something that's really the next piece I'm going to say. I think is a much more ambitious chiddush. So somebody wants to accept the first 20 minutes and not the last 40 minutes, so we'll understand. But I should preface what I'm going to say now by saying that this kasha I'm working on is between 15 and 20 years, and at one point I thought I had solved it, and I actually was invited to say she in public in a certain place, and someone asked me a kasha in the middle, and I had to retreat. I think it's only to my recollection, it's the only time I really was forced to do that, and I realized that I made a mistake. So, but because this is so puzzling to me for all the years, and I've been working on it, and I think now that this time around in the Daf Yomi, I think Be'ez Hashem, I have a breakthrough. So, I hope you'll share my view of that at the end of the presentation. But the Mishnah says in the Tzad Gimel Amaral, Arboa Shemrim Heim. There are four Shemrim, Shemachinam, Ba'ashayon, Ha'isasach, Ba'asaychon. And of course, we all in about the 5th or 6th grade got this in a chart. And so we all grew up with it, which, like my Rebbe Ravunda said, that it makes it much harder to learn in depth the things that we learn in childhood, because our mind slips into the easier categories. But so the Mishnah says there are four Shemrim, and then it spells it out to an extent. Shemachinam Nishba'alakar, Shemachinam swears on everything, Vashal Mashalan Esakar, the Shal pays everything, Vinoisi Sachar Vahasecher, Nishboim Alashvur Vahashvi Vahmesa. So this Mishnah uses the phrase Noisi Sachar Vashem Esachar, and says that they both pay for the same things, they swear for the same things. Gives the list, and they pay for those other things. So they end up having the same rules, although the Mishnah doesn't call attention to it that much, but it ends up the same list for both. So interestingly enough, when you get to the beginning of Hashoel, right after the beginning of the Perek, a few lines into the Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, all of a sudden, Tanan Hasa. And it brings our Mishnah, and then it says Menahani Mili and starts analyzing. And then Rashi in our Mishnah tells you that, by the way, later in the Kaman Bahashoel, they can bring you all the sources for our Mishnah. But this is a very odd situation where you have a Mishnah on the Tzadik Gimel, and then the Gemara chooses to explore it on the Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis by quoting it as a Tanan Hasam, something from somewhere else. A Tanan Hasam, as we know in Shas, could be from other Masechtas, other Siddurim, and to do a Tanan Hasam on the Mishnah that's a lot earlier. The closest thing I know of is in Pesachim, where they bring Tanan Hasam, but it's 5 or 6 blocks before it happens. It's also odd we have a Shia to explain that. But over here, the Mishnah blotted in half earlier, and we let it slide. I mean, there's Gemara on the Mishnah, but not on the sources. And then all of a sudden, in Asher, we start doing Tanan Hasam. And by the way, interestingly enough, Rashi in Asher starts explaining the Mishnah like he didn't explain it earlier. And I think he explains it a little bit differently. Now, but let's just set it up for the meantime. Let's set it up as a problem. Why would it be that the Gemara would, in a different parak, introduce this Mishnah as a Tanan Hasam we're working on over there? Now, Tosis asked the question in Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. So he says, "Mishum da'aisim v'masnisim kradvim v'alvim anotel meima menani mila ha." Tosis says, since the Mishnah in Hashoel mentioned the pasuk, so the Gemara felt more comfortable in Hashoel to start talking about psukim, which is a very obvious flaw in that teretz, is that the pasuk that Mishnah mentioned is the one p'tur that's not in our Mishnah. The our Mishnah mentions chiyuvim and p'turim, but it doesn't mention the p'tur of balavim. That's the one p'tur it doesn't mention. that pasuk in that Mishnah is the Ptur Balavim, that is a special Ptur, which ends up being by all the four Shaim after the Brisa. That's Marba. But that if he entered, if the owner entered the employee at the same time that the object was given over for safekeeping, so that ends up affecting the halachas. So it seems odd that the one pasuk which is not like our Mishnah is the pasuk that triggered the discussion of our Mishnah.
Fine,
but anyway, Tosfos, of course, is the Mekayim. Tosfos says it, and he's satisfied with that. But Rashi doesn't say it, doesn't say anything actually. But my understanding is that that the system of Rashi, for the most part, would be that if the Gemara set up a town hasm in another place, there's a reason for it. And one of the things, incidentally, that I, in a number of sugyas and shas, and published in my swarm in quite a few places, is that I believe I've discovered a principle that every time it says Tanah Hassan, the Gemara, with the exception of places where they're quoting, let's say, Mishnah in Tyrus or in Shkolim, where there's no Gemara there, so then when they bring in Tanah Hassan, it's just an opportunity to talk about it. But when they bring Tanan Hasim on a Mishnah that has Gemara of its own, so why would you all of a sudden park yourself in the middle of some other parak or some other Masechta to quote the other Mishnah Tanan Hasim and go to work on it? Then Rashi understands that whenever it's doing that, it's to learn it differently than they learn it over there. That for some reason related to that local sugya, they want to alter the perspective. And basically, as a good general rule, if you go around Shas and take all these Tanan Hasim and see how Rashi explains the Mishnah when it's brought in the Tanan Hasim, then go back to the original place and see how Rashi explains the Mishnah in its original source, to see the pretty open theories. I mean, one or two places might be more subtle, but for the most part you'll see open, direct contradictions, which I think indicates this idea that he holds, why do it? Why be doing Tanan Hasim in another place? Especially if it's in the same sefta, especially if it's in the same parak. The answer is that it's to view it from a different perspective, and then halachically we'll know that we'll have some indication which is the main place to pass. So if that's what we're looking for, we're looking for it here as well. Now, let's take a look at the sugi here in Hasekha Sapalim on the Mishnah. And it's a very serious problem in that sugya. And then the same sugya is replicated in Masechta Shavuos, with the Rashi's really approaching the sugya very different. So the Gemara starts off by saying like this. Oh, before I do that, really, I should point out an interesting thing in the Rashi on this Mishnah. That even though the same Mishnah appears in Shavuos, but there's no Rashi doing this, what he's about to do, in Shavuos, nor later when he quotes it in Ashayel, does he do the following. Our guess in the Mishnah is that Shem Echinim Nishba Al HaKoel and Hashoel Mishalem Es HaKoel. That's our guess. However, Rashi seems to go out of his way to make both of them be Al HaKoel, because that's his deeper muscles are focusing more on the Al HaKoel than anything else. So in the first half of the Mishnah, he says, Shem Echinim Nishba Al HaKoel. That's how he begins. And then in the second half, he says, Al HaKoel, Geneva Vavei Devoinson. So that would presumably be Hashoel Mishalem, shall pays for everything. So instead of it being Es HaKoel, Rashi makes the Dibur Masko Al HaKoel, and he says, Geneva Vavei Devoinson. Something which he doesn't bother doing in any of the other places, where he manages to explain the Mishnah without doing this. So I think it's telling. What is telling? I don't know yet, but it's interesting. Okay. Now, the Rashi says like this: Shein mechinim nishba al hakol. Rashi and the Mishnah says, "Al kol ha'mayrois haksubis b'shar shemim lechiv v'nishba shekach also le'apot." That the way the Shein mechinim does it is that anything that says by other shemim that yichayev, he swears that that's what happened, and he's put. That's kind of an odd lesson. Whatever's chayav by anyone else, he swears in his part. Later we'll see that this contradicts the way he explains it in Shavuos, but for now we're merely noting it and looking at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Matan Arba Shemim, Who's the Tana that holds him before Shemim? Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Ramei. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Baravua is Ramei. Amar Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba says to Rav Nachman, Mi'ika de Lesley Abba Shemim? What, is there someone who doesn't hold this for Shemim? Amalei, he says to him, Hachi Kaminalach. No, this is what I meant to say. Ma Tana Socher Kanois Yisachar. Who's the Tana that holds that Socher and Nois Yisachar have the same halacha? Rameyahi. It's Rameyah. So he says, what do you mean it's Rameyah? Well, Rameyah, Yivchus Shaminalei, on the contrary. We heard that Rameyah holds the other way. The Tanya says in the Braisa, Socher Ketzin Mishalim, Rameyah Oimik Hashem Mechino, Rabbi Yehuda Oimik Hashem Mechino. On the contrary, the Braisa says the opposite. So he tells him, no, Rabbi Baravua, remember, Rabbi Nachman quoted Rabbi Baravua. So he says, Rabbi Baravua, Ipcha Ketani. He has that Braisa in reverse, where Rameyah holds the Shem Mechino, Rabbi Yehuda holds the Shem Mechino. Yehachi, if that's the case, Abba Shloshnin, what are you saying? There's four Shemim, there's really three. Because the Secher and the Shem Mechino have the same din. Amram Nachman, Yitzchak, the Alad Shemim, but the name Shloshnin. They have four Shemim, but they have three sets of halach. So there's a problem here with this language Yehachi. He says, Yehachi, if that's the case, Abba, there's four. What do you mean? Shloshnin, or three? So Tosfos here says that this is an unusual Yehachi, and it doesn't really mean that anything changed. It's just some kind of a rhetorical flourish, but they don't pay any attention to it. However, the Marashal on the side says to us, Abu Rashi Bishkushavu is Vagaras Yehachi. So the Marashal refers us to Rashi and Shavuos, who goes out of his way to tell us that you can't have the Gers of Yehachi. So now let's take a look at the Mishnah Shavuos. It's on the list. The Daf in Shavuos, Mem Tesamid Aleph. The Mishnah said, Abba Shemim Heim, with the same language as our Mishnah. And then the Gemara starts. Man Tana Abba Shemim, Amr Menachem Aravua Ramehi, Amr Yerobu Ramachem Yikatan Zalat Se Abba Shemim, Amr Yerach Kamino Lach Man Tana Dama Sech Kanois Yisach Adami. So, it's basically the same language with one difference that over here, one key difference that over here it says that Hachi Kamino Lach Man Tana Sech Kanois Yisach Adami, and over there it says Man Tana Secher Kanois Yisach Adami. Right, that's not that big a difference. So Amra Vavu Ramehi Var Ramehi Ipcha Shaminale. It's basically the same Gemara as we have here. So along comes Rashi over there, and he says, "V'loy gatzina nihachi." You can't include nihachi. Why? Ubein the Ramei, ubein the Rabbi Yehuda, parchinala. Because the question applies equally both the coin to Ramei and the coin to Rabbi Yehuda. Because the coin to Ramei, well, depending which gifts you have, but a coin to Ramei, secher is like a shem secher. So it is, now there's two that are the same, secher and shem secher, and a coin to Rabbi Yehuda. So they still do the same. So the kasha is according to either one of them. The Rashi says, if that's the case, you can't have the gifts of Yehoch. Which, to me, means that Rashi just worked into a tremendous trap. But Taisus, he dealt with it by saying that, no, Yehoch doesn't mean anything. So if Yehoch doesn't mean anything, so no problem, we can rest easy. But according to Rashi, Rashi said, no, Yehachi is very meaningful. But it doesn't apply here. You have to take it out. Right? But he only says it in Shavuos, and he doesn't say it here. So now we're in a big problem. Because you can't say in Rashi that, Yehachi is lav dafka. Because Rashi went out of his way to tell you it is dafka. But in Shavuos he said, take it out. And over here, he doesn't take it out. So now, this kasha, as I said, has been bothering me many, many years. So how does Rashi and Alasug explain the Yehachi? Since he's forced to say that it does make sense in Alasug. So I mean, so obviously it's a huge trigger to realize that Alasug is very significantly different than Rashi's understanding. And now we need to understand, how does it work? How does the Yehachi work in Alasug? Now the truth is, if you do the groundwork in the Pshat, you'll realize that the Yehachi is very solid before you get the logic. Logic is the only problem. But the technical basis for it is very strong. Why? Because really, we have a Gemara here that just asked the reverse kasha from one line to the next. Because the first kasha Gemara says, "Amli Rabba or Nachum, Ika the Lesa Yavashim." Wow, that's ridiculous. Is there anyone who doesn't hold a four? Everyone knows it's four. So then all of a sudden a line later we say, what, four? There's only three. How can you have these two kashas one line apart? You're asking the exact opposite question, right? Well, one question is, it's obvious there's four. The next question is, there aren't four, it's only three. So these are, this is a horribly contradictory two lines. So Iyachi is a beautiful bridge to explain that something happened in the middle. So you say, before we asked, it's obvious that there's four. Then he gave a teretz, and then something happened in that teretz. And then he said, oh, Yachi, wait a second. You answered too well. You answered so well that now I have the opposite question, which is that there's really only three. So, again, this does technically, I didn't explain how the Yachi works, but technically it's very well-founded. In fact, it's so well-founded that I think that Rashi over there in Shavuos is really also dealing with this. Why? Because listen to the words of Shavuos. Rashi says, "V'lagasin in Yehachi, u'bein l'Rabbi Meir, u'bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, harchinon lo." And so here we go back to our rules of at the end of Maseches Brachos, which we went last week also. Somehow we end up back there a lot. This Gemara has Kolam B'Talmud. I've had to learn. Not the Gemara has. I'm sorry, but Shmuel Hanogid and other early Achronim bring different rules, Kolam B'Talmud, rules in Shas, and then they also have from the Baal Knesset Hagdola, Kolam B'Rashi. Which a lot of them, he says, he gets from the Radvaz, that there's rules of how to learn Rashi. And in there, he says that whenever Rashi says Uparach or Mishani, it means that they're continuing the same Machshin from earlier, now responds to the next Teretz by continuing to ask. But if it says Uparachinon or Mishaninon, that means that it's not that original Machshin anymore. But now, this is coming from another perspective. The Baal HaGemara are asking it not according to the perspective of the previous Machshin. So by Rashi saying the Uparachinon, he's really dealing with it. He's saying, look, true that this kasha is completely different than the kasha before, but that's because we're asking it and we don't agree with Rav. You know, Rav is coming from one place. He says it's obvious it's four, maybe because he's just counting parshas, and we say it's more mistaken to go by dinim. So we ask Bainly Remain, Bainly Rabbi Yehuda, there's only three dinim, and then we're forced to answer, you're right, there's four parshas and three dinim, and so that's it. But at least Rashi's dealing with the issue. He can't ignore the issue even over there. He deals with it. He deals with it by saying, you're right, we asked, not from Rabbi's perspective, from our perspective. So that's how he dealt with it. But over here, where he leaves the Yehachi, so then you have, over here we have to learn that something in the Teretz of Rav Nachman to Rava created this new kasha. So now we're really in trouble. What happened in the Teretz of Rav Nachman that created this new kasha? So now, there's very interesting clues in the way Rashi learns the sugya. And let's start from what he says in Shavuot. So when the Gemara asks the question, Mantana Arbo Shomrim, so Rashi says in Shavuot, L'kama Mefarashlo. So he seems to be doing an important service for us by saying that, because later the Gemara challenged it and said, what kind of question is that? Right? So Rashi says, Mantana Arbo Shomrim. We're going to explain later what we mean to ask. This doesn't really make sense what we're asking. And then Amram Nachman Rabba Barvu Ramehi, so Rashi is Ramehi, Lakaman Mefaris Miika Dolesi Abba Hashem. So this Lakaman Mefaris is really the same as the Lakaman Mefaris of the Kasa, which is unusual, but Rashi says that this whole thing is problematic. The question and answer, what did we ask, what did we answer? Isn't it obvious that there's four Hashem? Now, where's that Lakaman? It's the very next line. So this is a very unusual Rashi that he jumps in one line ahead. They will ask it immediately in direct response to this. So obviously he wants to teach us something very important. And I think what he's teaching us is this. There really is a kasha on this Gemara that Rava is challenging Rav Nachman on. Rav Nachman said a Torah, it's not a kasha. Somebody has the kasha, Mantan Arbo Hashemah. Who's the author of the Mishnah of Arbo Hashemah? Rav Nachman came along, and he said the answer is Rameah. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. How could there not be Arba'a Shomrim? He's challenging Rav Nachman, but he's really also challenging the Kasha. So it's an unusual setup where Rav is asking a question that's just as good a question on the Makshin as it is on the Tatsin. But apparently he knew the Tatsin in person, and he asked Rav Nachman. So that's where Rashi, I think, puts the comment for Rashi on both, because it's really the same Kasha on both. The Kasha is on the Kasha, the Kasha is on the Teretz, because the Teretz, why? Because the Teretz says it's only Ramea. What do you mean it's only Ramea? How could there be anyone else? Which is also a question, how did it, can anyone ask? Who is it? It's obvious. So since it's a Kasha on both, but he only delivered it on one, so I think that's how Rashi solves it. By on the Kasha saying Lekama Mepharash, on the Teretz saying Lekama Mepharash, it's the same problem on both. And that's, I think, very nicely how Rashi sets us up in the Pshat in the Sefer Shavuot. However, by us, there's no Rashi on the Kasha. There's no Rashi on the Teretz. But there's another Rashi who says the Kama Mepharash on the next Teretz, and that's really a problem. Why? Because the first Kasha, Mantana Bar Shemir, no Rashi. The Teretz Remehi, no Rashi. Then he says, no, what I meant was, Mantana Serecha Kanais Sacha, Remehi. So if the Rashi explains, Mantana Serecha Kanais Sacha, then he said, and he throws in dummy, by the way, so that Diak he may not have. But then he says, Ramehi, so this is the second Ramehi. And on the second Ramehi, he says, Kidim Afarash Vazel. Now, this Rashi is very swear Rashi. Now, it's the kind of Rashi that people would tend to notice. And it's just by the nature of things, not by any fault of, not learning to say. I wouldn't fault anybody for missing this. And it's the kind of thing where when you even start asking, they're really angry at you, it's asking the fire for us, we'll leave it alone. But the truth is, this is very problematic, because there really is no Mepharash Vazel. He said Ramei. That remains. What happened afterwards? All the Gemara says, wait a second, I have a Bryce that says the opposite. This is he has a different gist than that Bryce. That's not a Mepharash Vazel. Didn't explain anything. His basic message was that the sheet that it holds, that Seichel is Kenais Seichel, is the sheet of one Tana, Ramea. And that remains. Somebody says, wait a second, I heard the other one. No, he doesn't have that guess. Fine. But that's not Kiddum Mepharash V'Azul. Kiddum Mepharash V'Azul would mean that the full explanation of his saying Ramea will only be as we continue, and that we don't have. There really is no Mepharash V'Azul. So here we have a very odd Rashi, which we don't have in Shavuos. So the Rashi we have in Shavuos, we don't have in Bokasi. The Rashi, the odd Rashi is from Shavuos, but we explained it at least. But the Rashi we have in Bokasi, we don't have in Shavuos, and we don't really understand over here what's the purpose of this Rashi. So, and then there's a long Rashi by us, it's kind of odd, which he didn't feel any need for this Rashi in Bokasi. In Shavuos, I'm sorry, where he says, Rabbi Baravua Tanam Asnista, Rabbi Baravua, his gifts in the Brisa is Seicher, and it gives you the whole full version of the Brisa in Rabbi Barbu's language. Seicher, Ketzin, Meshalim, Ramei Oyem, Kishem, Seicher, Yud Oyem, Kishem, Echim. He feels the need to spell that out at length, which is not such Rashi over there. He thought, he didn't think those words, Rabbi Barbu is Ipcha Masin, it was so complicated. No Rashi like that in Shavuos. And also, in the Dibra Maskil, in the setup, he names Rabbi Barbu. Which, this is the thing also that I believe is a fair observation of Rashi around Shas. It's not very often that usually the Dibra Maskil usually is the memory, not the author of the memory. Here and there, periodically around Shas, there'll be a Dibra Maskil that says Rav Omar, or a Pop Omar, or a Rashi Omar. Really. And so I've personally come to a conclusion, although I have to admit it's not in my list of Kalam Barashi that I like to fall back on. But I'm asserting offering that this is that when Rashi does that, he's indicating to you that there's really a shift in the understanding of the Gemara in this Mandam. It's not just arguing details, because usually the rule is that the Amiraim argue details, the Yisoides are agreed upon, and every so often you have an Amara who really shifts the Yisoides. So I think that's what Rashi does when he mentions the name of the Amara in the Dibra Maskil, is to alert you that that's happening. So, and that would fit very well with the Yachir, for saying that there's some kind of real you said that shift again. So then the Yahachi is that shift. But the question again is, so if anything, the evidence is mounting that the rat, it looks almost, yeah. Sometimes people say to me, well, how do you know it's a steer, it's a that. But this is one of the examples, I think, where you really, it dramatizes it, because if you take the two Gemaras and put the Rashis, every single Rashi over there is not over here, and he's answering issues that he doesn't answer here, and every Rashi here is not over there, and he's answering issues that he doesn't answer over there. So it almost looks like he wrote them both at the same time. The approach is, well, you know, here he wrote, yeah, he was here, he was like this himself, he was like that himself, he wrote a little differently, you know. Yeah, a little differently, sure, but now when all the gaps match all the filling over here, it shows you that here, this is the problem, and there, that's the problem. And so I think that's clear that Rashi holds is the difference between these two sugars. And I'll tell you what I think of Shabbos. So, the key, I think, is to focus on the language between Rashi over here and Rashi in the beginning of Hashoel when we get back to explaining it. Because Rashi in our Mishnah says, Shoy Mechinim Nishba Al-Kol, Al-Kol HaMeroyes Eksubis B'Shar Shomrim L'Chiyuv, in every scenario which other Shomrim have to pay, who Nishba Shekach Al-Solay Potter, the Shoy Mechinim can swear and he's Potter. So it's a very odd setup that where everyone else is Chayiv, he has a mechanism of a shuah to make himself puff. But later, when they bring it up again in the Tanan Hassan on Salak Alam and Beis, over there Rashi says, Nishboyin, Shekenu, he swear that this is true, Shalai Pashaba, Shalai Shachu Bayad. And which in Amish they didn't even mention the Shalai Pashab, Shalai Shachu Bayad. They didn't even mention that aspect of it. He just says in the cases where everyone else is fired, he swears that that's the case, and he's puff. Over there he says, he swears that it's as he says, and that the key of that he wasn't Pashe and he didn't do Shlichusim. So it's a very radically different way of setting up the explanation of the Shvua that the Shem Mechinim does. And also notice that he shifted, he doesn't have that Divrei Maskil Al HaKoel, which in our Mishnah everything was Al HaKoel. Over there he just says Nishboyim, he leaves it at that. So, and of course, the Nishboyim would include both the Shem Mechinim on the Koel and the Shem Esacher on the Gnev Aved. But this whole focus on Al HaKoel and Al Mishnah doesn't appear to me. So I think what's going on is like this. So that there's a very classical Chakira that we're familiar with. And I think because I was very locked into this, I didn't realize that in Al Mishnah there's really a third thing going on. But the classical chakir that we're aware of, and in my shir on the beginning of Hamafkid, which is available at marbachaim.blogspot.com in a video version. So in that shir, I explained that the sugyan Hamafkid shifted from one way of learning to the other way of learning. And in the classic chakir of how the responsibilities of Shomrim are constructed and figured, that, and this is the way it's usually presented, the Machna Frayim is, I think, the most clear exposition of it, but the others talk about it, and the Tzaisis we talk about it, but the Machna Frayim lays it out nicely, the way he says that there's two ways of understanding how Shomrim Machayiv. Is it the idea that when you contract to take care of it, so you undertook an obligation to return it, and that's the basic chiyuv of Shomrim, you have to return it, and so consequently if it's not there then you still have to return it. So when you end up paying, you're always paying to fulfill your original obligation of returning. In certain cases the Torah passes you, but and then they're doing you a favor, so to speak, letting you off the hook. Whereas the other approach says, no, really, your obligation to return it as long as you have it. But once you don't have it, that obligation disappears. And now we have to create some kind of new basis on which to originate responsibility. And so we create a parasha of Tashlumin, some kind of a new chiyuv. which I always like to, I don't think the Ma'achta Frayim brings it, but I always like to relate to this, the Braisa in the first pack of Bava Kama that says that the four Shemim on the list of the Yugimu Mazikim, Choftal Mazikim. So I think that fits very nicely with this Tzad, that those Braises seem to hold that this is a brand new Chiyuv that we're creating, and we're creating it out of the general umbrella of Mazik, where we're holding you responsible that your inadequate fealty to responsibility created a loss for the other person, so you have to provide a recompense. So that's the case. So that's a new category of Mazik that's generated at the end of the process. Okay. Now, and those are the two tzadim, and because in the beginning of Hamafkid I make the point that we first learned the Mishnah Shemichinim Shari Amru Shemichinim Nishba V'yotze. It means that really everyone is chayiv because you have to return it. Anytime you part it, they get letting you off the hook. So that's what it means. Shari Amru Shemichinim Nishba V'yotze is they're giving you a break to let you off the hook. In which case, if you do pay, you really are paying for the original responsibility, and that by the time you get to the Maskana of that Gemara, the Gemara goes away from it and says, no. So really, the original fee goes away. When you're paying, it's a voluntary. If he pays, despite being part of, he's a voluntary pay, and then the only way he gets the kefil is because the guy gives it to him. And so that's how we explain the transition in that circuit. So therefore, I believe that these two tzadim of the Ma'achta Frayim are represented in the Shas. And but because I've been saying that shiur for many years, so I was very much locked into this tzitzit. And I that's why I say that I whatever truths I said in this Mishnah, Tzad Gimel, was falling short. Because now I believe that really it is the third son. There's a tendency, when, especially once you have tzitzit and you figure it out. But every so often, there could be a third son. And I think that there's a third son, and that's what this sugi is based on, and the third side is based on the idea of Hasoichus HaPoyal. Because really, we don't usually pay attention to this, but the fact is that every Shaima is a Poyal. So much so that the Rambam sets up Hilchus Chiras by talking about Shaima first, and then going to other Poyal. So really, now, you know, I don't know how it is in Israel, but in the United States, there's always a fight between the Internal Revenue Service and different and individuals about whether you're an independent contractor or an employee. It's a lot, because people like to say I'm a consultant, I'm an independent contractor, I'm working for myself, not for the other guy. And the IRS always would prefer you to be an employee, because whatever, it works out more money for them, however they're structured. But really, a shamer, you can look at it both ways. You can see a shamer as an independent contractor, especially when it's a roya, for example. A lot of the cases of shamer is a roya. So Raya certainly seems to be in business for himself. I mean, your natural tendency would be to think he's a businessman, he's a service provider. But the fact is that it's also possible to look at it that he's a poyal. I'm hiring him to do a particular job for me. Not a service. I mean, it's a service in the sense of employment, not service like a psychologist does a service, but service in the sense that a guy who carries a bundle for me is doing a service, you know, employment. And so, and especially when the Shas put the Mishnah of Abba Shemrim into Hasoichus HaPoyal, so that sends a signal that it seems to be presenting it within that context, that a Shema is really a Poyal. And if a Shema is a Poyal, so then that could be a third basis for understanding how the obligations work, because, like we spoke in the last year, that Hasoichus HaPoyal is a tremendous obligation based on the fact that I'm creating the contract, that I'm providing the payment, and so there's obligations to me on that basis. It's my employee. So, within that context, if the Chiyuv HaShoyma works as a poyal, so then it wouldn't be exactly that side of you undertake to return it, but it's like an idea of achrayus, you know, that being my poyal gives you liability obligation towards me. You have to, you can't leave me off worse than I was, you know, like with let's go to Shadat, it's such kind of idea where as my poyal I can demand that I don't end up worse off as in this situation. And that creates a new chiyuv on you, achrayis, from your lower position that you have as the person receiving money. You're receiving money from me, so I have the right to an expectation based on money, based on poil, to not to be a loser in the basic products that we're working with. So it's like employee liability. So that's really a third system. And in this third system, now, so what ends up happening in the third system is that Shem Echinam doesn't fit so well, because since we said the power of Poyim is mostly based on Tzchar, for the most part that's the basis of the power. So Shem Echinam doesn't fit that well into this idea. Okay, there we understand. So I think that the way to learn the sugya is like this. That what was the first kasha we asked on the Gemara? Matana Abba Hashem, and he answers Ramea, so Rava jumps and says, I don't understand, how could it not be Abba Hashem? Which means he really seems to be asking on the kasha. What do you want from the guy who said the turrets? Right? So over there, Rashi said, you're right, it's an unusual double kasha on both. And he only asked the turrets. But over here, I think they're learning it a different way. I think over here, the way to learn it is like twice just in the beginning of Eil Metzias. That it says over there, V'kama Amar Rav Yitzchak Kav Bar Ba'amas. But Taisa says that Rav Yitzchak is really the one who asked V'kama. And so, the same way over here, that Matana Bar Shem Amar Rav Nachman Rameyahi is that he's the one who's asking it and answering it. He's saying, you know, that Abba Shem is only going to Rameyahi. And that's why Rav is challenging him, because he's introducing the problem. He's not just introducing the solution, he's introducing the problem. Now, why would that be? What would be the base of that? Is because they're addressing this issue that here we have this Mishnah that's bringing Dar Bo Hashem in the context of Asech HaSapa'ilam. And so it sounds like that means that Yechayev on the basis of Poyo, right? Yechayev on the basis of Poyo. So, and we're not going to really end up holding like that, Lalacha. Like we said, it's Maskon of the Sugya and Hamafki wasn't like that. And by the fact that in the beginning of Asher we're going to bring in another context, we'll explain why, it's because we're really not going to hold this way. So now we're understanding that what Rav Nachman Amar Abba Avu is coming to tell us is don't pass like this Mishnah. Even though in the end we may end up with every word in this Mishnah may end up still being the Halacha, but the implied part of this Mishnah, which is them putting it into the Perek of Asech HaSapoyim, sounded like it's saying that this is based on the system of parliament. There's going to be nafkamina against Allah if you accept that. See, this is only Rameya. So there's an implication here that it's Rameya who we're not going to pass him on. And that explains why Rashi says Rameya can do a farash v'azal, even though it's by the time we get to the second Rameya and clarify it. Rashi says Rameya can do a farash v'azal because until we have a bracha that shows you that Rameya loses to Rabbi Yehuda and Machlekes, we don't really get what Rabbi Bar Avuh is trying to do. Because what Rabbi Bar Avuh is trying to do is say, this Mishnah is not Halacha. This is a Mishnah like Rameya. Like so, you have some sugis that start off by saying, Zudivri Rabbi Kiva Stimtav, Chacham Mangram, Zudivri Rabbi Nachum Rabbi Yossi Stimtav, Chacham. There's some, or Rabbi Yechelin says, Blashin Yachran Ishaino, there's different ways, but he clue you in that our particular Mishnah is a Das Yachran. So Rabbi Bar Avuh is coming to tell you, when he says Ramei, it's not just Sam, you should know the name of the author. He says, no, this is only Ramei who we don't paskal on. And since Sam Mishnah is Ramei, there's a tendency to want it to be Ramei anyway. So, but he's coming and telling, no, it's a Ramei who we're not going to paskal on because there's a Mafalik in the Bryce, which he loses to Rabbi Yehuda. Which, by the way, if when you go to the club of Chloe HaTalmud, so they bring over there Mafalik is between the Mardukhai for sure holds that when there's a Star Mishnah like Rameya and there's a Machlokes in the Brayos, you still keep the klal of Rameya Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And they bring that there may be some trying to say the Rambam doesn't hold that one. But so there might be a Machlokes Rishonim, but at least some Rishonim hold this way. That they say the Mardukhai is clear that even though the Mishnah is Star Mishnah, but if in the Brayos it's Rameya Rabbi Yehuda, so we're going to pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, you have to remember something. We'll get to this point, but you have to remember that the fact is we do pasken like this, that Sechus Kenes Yisach, and we pasken like it because we don't have the Geis of Rabbi Bar Avuh, and we do make it Rabbi Yehuda. right? We have the Brisa the other way, and we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda the Brisa, and which ends up passing like the words of the Mishnah anyway. So, but I think that the Gemara established this thing over here to show you that we're going to end up now passing like this implied element of our Mishnah. So it goes like this. So he comes along and he says, so now let's read how the Gemara reads and we'll see. He says like this. Matana Bar Shemim, he says, it's Rameya, and we don't pass him that way. To which Rav comes and says, what? I don't understand. It's got to be a Bar Shemim. So he says to him, no, I mean this part. That Seichus Kenais is Secha. That's Rameya, and we don't hold that way. So then the Gemara says, Yachi Abar Shloshaninu. So what's the pshat? So we saw according to Rashi here keeps the Yachi. How does it work? So I think it works like this. That what happens is like this. If you hold that the basis of the Chiyuv is Pilum, and Pilum is really based on receiving Schar. So, but you could say Hashem Mechino, you don't have exactly Schar, but somehow it stays in the same system. And like the Gemara says later, is a cheshbon of, like Rabbi Yochanan says, is you know, like today you do things on the internet for free in the hopes that later they're going to charge you for it. So maybe he's a Shem Mechidim now in the hope that he'll get a reputation and he'll be able to start charging. So there's a little, we can make the Shem Mechidim have enough benefit that we understand within the count, he ends up finding himself in the parasha poem. So, what ends up being the most difficult thing to understand, and so we saw Shem Mechidim, you have to work a little bit, but I think Seicha now in the context really needs a lot of work, because if the basis of my obligation as a Shomer is the fact that I'm the employee, Seicha is really the opposite way. We actually use the same word Seicha for the Shomer. He's renting the cow, so he's giving money to the other guy. So to say that his obligation to him, how does that work? So I think that Rabbi Barabua comes up with a very fascinating idea, and he said, no, on the contrary, because there's a financial transaction, that's how it works. That the seicha, every seicha really is a shomer seicha by definition. It's not even that the Torah gave it the same halachas, but every seicha really is a shomer seicha. That fits better with this lashon here, where if you're not Gary's dummy, that seicha connects to seicha. Why? Because since there's a financial transaction, and every time when I rent a thing from somebody, so there's actually a financial value to my ability to watch it. And today we're all familiar with it, let's say, when in renting a car. So you come to rent a car, they say to you, are you over 25 or under 25? If you're under 25, they charge more. Why? Because they trust you less to take care of the car. So they trust you less to take care of the car, they have to charge more for renting the car. Which means that the extent of trust that the person has in how well the renter is going to take care of it is an actual financial value in their relationship. An economist will, an actuary will tell you the exact value that if I'm renting the cow from him for $100, really it would have been $150 if he thought that I was a completely irresponsible guy. Because he thinks I'm a responsible guy, it's $100. So there's an actual $50 that I'm getting off the bill for watching it for him. And so that's really what Rabbi Barabua says, that our Mishnah is Remeya, because the Mishnah that they put into Seichus HaPoilim. And they set up that the basis of the obligation is as a poil, and poil's the real power, where poil owes the mafil, the Seichus, is the Schar, the point where we use the same word Schar. So he says that's the logic why Noisi Seichus is Kesaicha. It's Mamash Seicha. It's not even a new parsha. It's the same parsha. It's because every time you're renting from somebody, you're also saving money in that contract on the basis of guarding it for him. And so that's real money. That's Noisi Seicha. It's the same as Seicha. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds Shemachinim, it's obviously not going to have that extra element. And so Mele comes along and he says that you should know that this Mishnah that I put into Sefer Sabayim is because it's Rameya, and the Seicha is a nice Seicha. So that the Gemara says, whoa, Yachri, Shlaisha Avu, if a Seichi is a nice Seichi, it's not that by coincidence the balance of things worked out exactly, that the Torah ended up giving the same set of provisions, but that a Seichi is a nice Seichi. So if that's the case, Yachri, whoa, then you really have Shlaisha. So the Gemara said, you're right, there's four, then they have three sets of it. So this, I think, is the structure of the Sugya. And now, interestingly, of course, we passing like this Mishnah, but we're not passing like it in the same sense, because had we learned it that way, that it's based on this obligation, there would be enough minis in halacha. It's like we see in the beginning of Hamakka and other things, where the halachas would end up being different. So it's interesting because you can really ask a kasha in this whole Gemara with Rabbi Baravua, that what are you wasting our time for? You have the Gersa backwards, and you say the Mishnah is Remeya, but we don't have that Gersa. We have the Gersa, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says this. And comes out that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and Paskin Rabbi Yehuda. And now maybe the Gemara should have paused and asked the question, why is this not Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda against Remeya? But the Gemara doesn't bother asking. But the fact is, we end up with the same halacha as in our Mishnah, but we still set up a sugya here of a mandamo who goes out of his way to say we don't pass like this Mishnah. So it's a funny setup. So I think that's what the Gemara is trying to say, that the halacha is not like the understanding of this Mishnah. The words remain the halacha. And so then what we do is we bring the halacha in the beginning of our shayl, the same words, and Rashi explains it differently. So now, you follow a fascinating chiluk in the way he sets it up. Now our Mishnah, what did he say in Sadeh Gimel? He said that kol ha'mayrois haksubis b'shar shemrim l'chiyuv, everything that you chayav for are shemichinam tzuyas, right? And also he made everything be alakol, nish b'alakol and mishalom alakol. Why? Because Rashi is going to have to hold in the Mishnah in Aseches HaKoelim that what's actually happening is that when a person swears, that's a form of payment. Or since it's all based on the idea that you're obligated to the Seichel HaSapaylam, and he has a right to demand from you, so the Mishnah says he can demand a shvur from this one, he can demand a payment from the Shoyl, and he can demand sometimes a shvur and sometimes payment from the other one. And so that's why Rashi keeps the alakol the same in both. Because if you read it alakol and esakol, it means like this. Nishba alakol is always pata. Mishalom esakol, he pays for everything. Rashi says, no. Nishba alakol, he swears for everything. Mishalom alakol, pays for everything. It's the same system. And in this Mishnah of Apoilim, it means it's always your obligation. This one's obligated to pay the shvur. This one's obligated to pay the mom. But in the later Mishnah, in the later version of this Mishnah, which is also the Mishnah Shavuot, which is the way we're passing, so then over there Rashi doesn't jump in with the alakol and that's the kokos. On the contrary, we're learning the other way around, that really when you're nishba it's because you're potter, and when you're mishalom it's because you're chayav. So now notice how he explains it by us. He says alakol hamayroes haksubis b'shash shemim l'chim u'nishba shekach ha'osloi potter, whatever makes you chayav he has to swear. He ends up not paying money, but whatever makes you chayav, he has to swear, because he's chayav the shvur. So he's chayav the shvur, they're chayav the moment. And that also fits in with the lashon of the later Mishnah of Sechus Apoilim. Masne shemichinim li is potter mishvur, vashoyel li is potter melashamim. Because that whole earlier Mishnah was how everyone's chayav, either chayav the shvur or you're chayav tashlomim. And then there's ways to get out of those chiyuvim. So it's all set up as chiyuv. But in the beginning of Hashoyel, the Gemara is going la halacha, and so I want to say very quickly, where did the Gemara get an indication in Hashoyel that the halacha is not like that? So we saw in the Amafki, the Maskana, the Sugi was not like that. But also in Hashoyel, because I think there's really a tremendous hour in the beginning of Hashoyel. You open the parak of Hashoyel, what characterizes Hashoyel? Well, it's Chiyuvah. He's got more Chiyuvah than anybody. And what's the first halacha of the Mishnah? The one case where he's Pata. Right, they start out Balavima, he's Pata. So that's very odd in the one who, and about now in general, I think that the purpose of Mishnah is to tell you Chiyuvim. That's in general true. If Mishnah is coming to tell you what you chayim, okay, it wants to tell you what you chayim, they tell you this Pturim. So when you have a Mishnah that starts, I mean, like Shein Eilam Metzias, I start with this. Why do you start with the Shaloi? But that's very odd. Usually Mishnah starts with your responsibilities, not how you can cash in. And so when the Mishnah starts with a Pter on the thing that's the most chayav thing in the world, so the Gemara comes along and says, why are you starting with the Pter? It must be to teach you that all shayim are be'etzim potter until we mechayav them with a new parsha of like a mazik, like the sugi and Bava Kama. And so if that's the case, then Em Rashi says Nishboim, Tzadik Alam and Beis, Nishboim, Shishalai Pashabov, Shalai Shavu Bayad, it's all a Pter. Going, you make sure there's no thing I'm responsible for, and then I'm a male potter, because there's no basis to be mechayev me, so I'm potter by default, because there's really no original chiyuv either, as like the Havamina in Hamafgid, where there's an original chiyuv based on the parasha mazik, or like the sugya in Hasek Zepanim, where there's a chiyuv based on the fact that he's the one who's paying the money. So, but instead, on the contrary, every shayim is potter until we make him chayav with a new parasha at the end, and then once we establish that, then we start bringing the psukim and we work on that basis to understand this parasha. Sure.